Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here. This is quarter number three, and this is Franklin Speaks. These are James Franklin quotes are coming up in just a moment. Coming out of the blue-white game, his thoughts this time around on Tommy Stevens in the quarterback competition, also Dan Chisena and the decision to give him a scholarship and how they plan to use him. This segment brought to you once again by GoPSURV.com, your destination for the ultimate tailgating experience for Penn State home games. Blue White was an awesome time, busy time for Mark and those guys up there. If you didn't get a chance to enjoy it, obviously still a full season of football coming. Check them out and all they have to offer at GoPSURV.com. We wanted to touch on the two new commitments coming out of Blue White weekend. We talked a lot about football, not so much about these guys in the first half of the show, but they get a three-star from Woodbridge, Virginia, and R.J. Adams. He's a guard tipping the scales at 300-plus pounds. I think they've got, three commitments so far, all 300-plus pounds. These guys, no question about the size. Also, later in the day, the higher-profile commitment, one of the top defensive tackles in the country, Cole Brevard. Is that, am I saying his last name?
I believe so, yeah.
He's from Indiana.
We'll find out at some point if not.
He's a four-star. So what you have now is, are we at eight commitments in the class so far? Eight commitments in the 2020 class. Now up in the top 10 of the 24/7 Sports National Rankings. This has been a class, and we'll touch on a little bit later in the week, that has gotten some uneasy feelings. I think people seeing a number of offers go out to players that were not quite on their radars, or players who have three-star designations, and they have commitments from some three-stars. But right now, it's as competitive a class as James Franklin has really put together so far at Penn State. Is it time for people to relax a little bit? Do these two commitments ease anybody's thinking? Should they ease people's minds?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's a testament and a little bit of a, it goes to show that even, when you do things really well, the expectations go up. And then some things that shouldn't be looked at as disappointing are looked at it disappointing. Penn State now has the number seven class in the nation with eight commitments, and obviously they're not Alabama, Clemson, or LSU at this point of the cycle, and Georgia and Ohio State have some five-star talent as well, but Georgia actually they only have five commits at this point. That's interesting. But at the end of the day, does Penn State need to go get some five-star guys? Yeah, for sure. And does it have the opportunity to eventually get those guys? I think so. But when it really comes down to it, they're going to lose Brian Bressy in all likelihood when he announces next Tuesday. I mean, in all likelihood, they're going to lose him to Clemson. I mean, unless there's some significant
hard to see that going another direction right now.
Right. And if it's not Clemson, then maybe it's somebody else, but I don't think it's Penn State, that's for sure. So they're going to lose out on him. And then you look at Julian Fleming, he looked like he had a good time down at Alabama on an official visit. Penn State has to get him. There's just no way around it. But losing out on both of those guys make this class disappointing either way? I'd say so, but it doesn't mean it's not going to be a quality group overall, because they're off to a pretty darn good start.
So two new commits, I think, especially at the defensive tackle spot, to get another primetime defensive tackle is a step in the right direction. I do still have some questions, too. I think there's a time to address those. Right now, I do want to get to what James Franklin had to say. We've got a total of four quotes. We're going to do two of them now, take a break, and do two more from James Franklin, his more meaningful thoughts coming out of Blue White. This one is on Tommy Stevens, Sean Clifford, and the quarterback competition that will clearly go into the summer.
Obviously, we want to be able to name the starter as soon as we possibly can, but we're not ready to do that right now, and it's going to need to be more of a true competition. Tommy's done everything right, for 4 years. There's a huge body of work in what we've seen from him, and I think last year, in a lot of ways, wasn't fair to him because he was playing with an injury, a pretty significant injury. So, our coaching staff has got all the belief in the world in Tommy. Our coaching staff understands kind of what Tommy has done and who he can be. But we also have belief in the other guys. I think we've created really good competition in our quarterback room. So We'll see how this thing plays out. But we'd like to name one as soon as we can. But based on kind of how things have played out, I don't know when that will happen.
All right, so on the surface, not a lot of new information. Like, I don't think anybody expected James Franklin to come out of the spring game, no matter what happened, who played, who didn't play, and say, this is my starter at any position.
Right.
But the quarterback position obviously has more scrutiny than the others. And just because there wasn't new information on what he said doesn't mean it was meaningless, I guess. I think for him to trump up everything that Tommy Stevens has done – to me, sets up that this competition will be a pretty legitimate one going into the summertime. Kind of has the same feel as when Trace McSorley and Tommy Stevens fought for the position a few years ago, where you thought, and this ended up how it played out, but you thought that it was Trace McSorley's position to lose. Not that Tommy didn't get a fair shake at it, and from the sounds of it, it was as close as James Franklin portrayed it to be going into that season.
Yeah.
So this one, you know, Sean Clifford, I think the onus is still on him to make up ground and he has to make it very, very obvious that he's the better option than Tommy Stevens, because when push comes to shove, Tommy Stevens has been around longer. There's a deep belief in him. There's a deep respect for him for sticking around. It won't be a charity case, though. So this isn't – I guess in this situation, I wouldn't want to be James Franklin, because you have a tough choice either way. But especially if you're going to look at Tommy Stevens and say, hey, I know what you did last year. It's not lost on us, but Sean Clifford did what was better than you this summer. So I do think it's a legitimate competition and that Sean Clifford has a shot here.
I do not. agree, disagree, I guess what we can call this little segue. Like I said earlier, I just don't feel like – it just feels exactly like the Tommy Stevens-Trace McSorley battle. You're right. And that necessarily didn't feel like a battle that Tommy Stevens could win either. And I know that we'll hear until the end of time that they were closer than everyone thought, and that it was a really tough decision, and that some of the stats were almost equal and all that, and I get it. But the end – to me, it really was Trace McSorley's job to lose, and he didn't. And it looks to me like Tommy Stevens, this is his job to lose, and I don't think he's going to lose it. So we'll obviously have to wait and see how summer camp goes. If Stevens would still be limited at the start of August, my tune would change. But for the time being, I think Stevens would have to be just horrible in summer camp to lose this job to Sean Clifford, no matter how good Clifford was during the practices that we didn't see. And he was, you know, pretty darn good on Saturday as well.
Horrible or unhealthy would be two for sure. I think unhealthy at this point would be the more reasonable bet than
right.
Horrible. I think so. Bob was at Bob Flanders was asked in the video that him and Dave Jones shoot for Penn Live after the game, which is must watch, by the way. For years, even having watched the game and kind of have a feel for what I saw, I feel like you have to watch those guys. But Dave asked Bob what percentage you would put on Tommy Stevens being the starting quarterback. And I believe Bob said 60% Tommy Stevens, 40% Sean Clifford. You're saying 90-10.
90-10. Yeah, honestly, 90-10 for me. I just, you know, look, I just think that, again, it's Tommy Stevens' job to lose. It doesn't feel as if Sean Clifford made any great strides to go past him during spring, no matter how good he was. And maybe, you know, what we're hearing from James Franklin is, you know, it's not, maybe it's more, I just, maybe it's more behind the scenes, Clifford's made more of a stride than what it feels like. I just don't know if that's the case.
My question to you would be, what are the odds that Penn State plays two quarterbacks in any form or fashion? Not 50-50, but have packages for one and packages for the other, at least to start the year. Do you think Penn State could go down that road?
I would sure as heck hope not. I don't think you should play three guards. I think you need to pick two and stay with them. I sure as heck don't think you can get away with playing three guards, though. I think when you play two quarterbacks, you muddy the water too much. You know, it didn't work out a few years ago when Penn State tried to do it with some guys, Rob Bolden and Matt McGoin, and I don't think it's going to work out in this instance either. Again, if you want Penn State to be the best team it can be, you want it to do a lot of the things that Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson and all the other top programs do. And guess what? One of the things they don't do is play multiple quarterbacks. So, no, I can't see it playing out like that.
See, so you had programs like Ohio State and Alabama did it. Clemson did it with Trevor Lawrence this past year, where if you have a freshman who you want them to get reps, then I think the two quarterback system works just to get them a feel for the game. But I don't think either one of these guys you have to cram reps down their throat. You don't have to force that. I think they're both fine either way. So in this case, I wouldn't really see that or recommend that either. All right, we got another quote here from James Franklin. This one on Dan Chisena and what he expects to see from him after putting on scholarship.
Yeah, you know, we really liked Dan on the front end. You know, we recruited Dan. Dan won the 100 meters in the state of Pennsylvania his senior year. You know, we really recruited him pretty hard. And then the track team stole him from us in a positive way, I guess. And then they ended up giving him a scholarship, which was really good for him. And then he wanted to come back to football, so left his track scholarship, came back to football without a scholarship. He's 6'2", he's 210 pounds, one of the fastest guys on our team. I mean, legitimately before he left, ran in the 4.3s, was catching the ball confidently and things like that. So, he's a guy that we always kind of had bright hopes for. And just had a really good, consistent spring. He's mature, he's smart, strong. Obviously, he's got a lot of work to do from a technique and fundamental standpoint, but we like where he's at.
All right, so legitimate 4.3 in the 4.3 speed, that's something. 6.3, 203, his frame is decent enough. But the technique standpoint thing is, I feel like, could be the ultimate deal breaker here for Dan Chisena. But I think the fact that he's got these physical skills is intriguing. You'll see them in some way, shape, or form. I think we both agree that Dan Chisena will be more of an asset on special teams than on the offense. But interesting nonetheless, big moment, fun moment in that game to get him put on scholarship. Also speaks, I think, to the uncertainty at the wide receiver position group as a whole. We don't really know how this whole situation will play out.
Yeah, because we don't know what Jarrett Parker likes to do when actually the chips are on the table and it's game day, right? So we can assume that he's going to want to play, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 receivers, but how does he want to split that snap count up? What impact does Ricky Ronnie and James Franklin have? So I think that there's a lot to figure out, but Dan Chisena, you know, we talked about it earlier. He should be involved on special teams. I think you'll see him be a guy that gets in every now and again when Penn State wants to stretch the field. His speed is undeniable, so we'll see how it all plays out. He's not going to take snaps away from the likes of Hamler and Dotson and others, but I think you'll see him do something this fall.
And then you bring in Weston Carr and George Campbell. This is a position group with a lot of intrigue, not a lot of certainty just yet. We'll hear more from James Franklin in just a moment. Got a couple more quotes coming your way with our thoughts as well right after this.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.